Molt bé, doncs per aquesta pròxima intervenció...
Now we have Kathy Sigmund, who is going to connect online. So she is a researcher focused on the development of exhibitions, and he is the head of a strategy of the Kera Collective, and she leads studies for museums so that they can empathize with their audiences, focusing on people. And she's worked in the United States and many other countries, from websites to big exhibitions, and she's also works in different museums. She uses research to create experiences that wake the curiosity and have a positive impact on the audiences. She's going to talk about one of the techniques that other speakers mentioned, the formative assessment for the development of the exhibition. Thank you very much, Kathy. You have the floor.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me today. My name is Kathy Sigmund, and I'm speaking with you today from Washington, D.C. in the U.S. Thank you very much for having me at the Congress. I'm very delighted to be here with you all to speak to you on a topic that is near and dear to my heart, formative evaluation. But first, just a little bit of introduction. In my day job, as you just heard, I am the head of strategy at Kera Collective. Kera Collective is a women-owned and operated business and internationally recognized audience research firm. At Kera Collective, we use research, evaluation, and strategy to help museums bring their visions to life. We're motivated by our belief that every museum can make a positive difference in its audience's lives. And we've been serving the museum field for more than 30 years. Over time, we've worked with all types of museums, including art, science, and history museums, as well as botanic gardens and zoos. And in particular, we have a long history of exhibition evaluation and have conducted hundreds of front-end, formative, and summative evaluations of visitors' experiences in museum exhibitions. So this is us on the screen, and if you can't tell, I'm the one in the white outfit on the right. Our ultimate goal at Kera Collective is to explore, measure, and further the meaning-making that occurs between museums and people. And we think about meaning making as this idea of the magic that occurs when museums and people meet. So for us, meaning making is what happens when the objects, stories, and ideas that museums share intersect with people's personal narratives, experiences, and curiosities to create these transformational aha moments. And these moments really can spark a positive difference, not just in people's lives, but that difference can ripple out and to influence the world at large and social good. And for us, the focus on museums and people, people is key here. In our evaluation work, we really help try to make sure that we help museums make sure that the people they serve, so their audiences and their visitors, have a voice in and are really central to all that they do, and that includes developing exhibitions. I just want to take a moment to talk briefly about what inspires me to do this work personally. So as a researcher and as a strategist, I'm really inspired by the words of American experience designer Judy Rand, who a long time ago gave a speech at the Visitor Studies Association conference in the U.S. The speech was later published as something called the Visitor's Bill of Rights. And Judy said, "Some people, maybe you've met them, think that knowing more about their visitors will constrain them, that evaluation will close off their options and stifle their artistic freedom. That astounds me. Evaluation doesn't stifle my creativity, it inspires it. It opens my eyes to the real world. Visitor research tells me where visitors are coming from, so I know what kind of bridge to build to get a message from us to them and back again." And like Judy, I believe that evaluation is a tool that helps museums infuse visitors' perspectives into every step of the exhibition development process so that visitors can not only access, but derive personal meaning from the exhibition content. So I'll spend the rest of my time today sharing how we at Kera Collective use formative evaluation as a tool to achieve that goal. And as museum professionals who I know are committed to their visitors, I hope you will keep Judy's words in mind as you listen, especially the idea that evaluation does not stifle our creativity. It inspires it. So I've been invited here to talk about formative evaluation. So of course you might be wondering what that is. So I'll do my best to explain a little bit about formative evaluation and just evaluation in general. At Cara Collective, we think of evaluation as really a dynamic and essential part of making sure that an exhibition will have a positive, lasting effect on visitors. And there are three phases of evaluation in exhibition development. There's front-end evaluation, formative evaluation, and summative evaluation. And all three of these phases really help museum professionals understand what aspects of an exhibition are working or are not working so well for visitors. The first phase, front-end evaluation, sometimes we call it concept testing. And this phase involves talking to visitors about their knowledge, their questions, their expectations, and their concerns regarding an exhibition's topic or theme. This phase, front-end evaluation, tends to happen very early in the exhibition development process. When exhibition ideas, you have them, but they're still very high level. It's really before you get to the point where you've developed any concrete materials. For example, well before any labels are written. Front-end evaluation is a really key step for helping to provide focus and direction very early on in the exhibition development process. And then the last phase, summative evaluation, happens after an exhibition is already open to visitors. And this phase of evaluation helps you understand how visitors really experienced the exhibition and if they made meaning from the exhibition in the ways that you hoped they would. Both of these phases of evaluation are important for understanding visitors' potential and their actual experiences with an exhibition. But really, it's formative evaluation, the middle phase, that's I think is at the heart of very visitor-centered exhibition development. And as I said, formative evaluation is this middle phase of evaluation. It happens when the exhibition is more than just a concept, but still before the exhibition opens to the public. So you have time to change things. The goal of formative evaluation is really to test actual materials and actual interpretation and interpretive strategies that you're preparing for the exhibition in order to refine them and improve them for the final exhibition. In formative evaluation, visitors review early exhibit designs, early exhibit materials, and they share their reactions with you, usually in interviews or sometimes in focus groups. These conversations help the museum gauge how interested visitors are in the exhibits and how effectively they convey key messages. The museum can then help refine the exhibits to help maximize visitors' satisfaction with them, to maximize visitors' learning from them, and to maximize visitor engagement with them. And this process of modifying, revising, and improving exhibits based on visitor feedback is a very valuable step in the exhibition development process. Formative evaluation allows you to understand how the various things that you've drafted and begun to develop for an exhibition, whether it's label text or whether it's the start of some hands-on interactive experiences, how all of those things are actually working for visitors before it's too late to make changes to them. Formative evaluation reveals how visitors' understandings of exhibits might differ from the museum's understanding of them. So in other words, what a visitor understands from reading a label might in fact be pretty different from what museum professionals understand when they read the same label. Formative evaluation can reveal these differences to you and help you point to solutions to these challenges and to help, again, bridge that gap between visitors' understanding and the museum's understanding. All in all, I think formative evaluation really helps create very powerful and effective exhibitions by bringing visitors' thoughts, visitors' opinions, and visitors' experiences to the forefront of the exhibition development and design process. And you might be thinking, well, I work in this type of museum. Can I do this can I do this? Well, yes, you can do formative evaluation for any type of exhibition and in any type of museum. So it doesn't matter if you work in a large science center, national art museum, or a small local history or local archaeology museum, or even a university museum. If you are in the work of creating exhibitions, you can do formative evaluation to help you make sure that those exhibitions communicate offenders. And as important as it is to talk about what formative evaluation is, which I will continue to do, I want to take one moment because I think it's also very important to talk about what formative evaluation is not. Formative evaluation does not mean that visitors write all of the exhibition text for you. Formative evaluation does not mean that you, the museum professionals, give up all of your curatorial, your writing, and your design control over to visitors. Formative evaluation is simply about adding the visitor's voice to the exhibition development process alongside your voice as the museum. Because as we all know, creating successful exhibitions is not something that happens overnight. Anyone who's been a part of developing an exhibition knows that designers, curators, educators, and many other people contribute their time and their expertise to exhibitions. And I think evaluation really adds another critical voice to that process, and that is the visitor's voice. So that's sort of the mindset with which I hope we can all operate in thinking about formative evaluation. I also want to pause for a moment to acknowledge that in English, formative evaluation sometimes goes by a variety of names. And as I continue to talk about formative evaluation today, and as you learn more about it throughout your careers, you might also encounter terms like prototyping, testing mockups, exhibit testing, formative assessment, or formative testing instead of the word evaluation. So apologies to my translators, but for my purposes today, all of these terms mean the same thing, but I just thought it would be helpful to point this out in case you encounter these other terms in future readings or future talks, you know, or that you attend. So let's talk a little bit more and dive deeper into formative evaluation itself, what it is, how we do it, and the core principles that underlie it. No matter what type of museum we're working in or what type of exhibition we're developing, there are a few core principles that underlie any formative evaluation that you might do. The first is that formative evaluation is informal. So it's designed to provide feedback in a short time frame, usually just a few days, sometimes a few weeks. And therefore, it lacks some of the formality of a bigger, full-scale research study. It's still systematic. You'll still have a process that you follow to go through it, but it's a little bit quicker and therefore feels a little bit more informal. And hopefully, you'll start to see that in some examples that I'll share later on. The second principle that I think underlies any formative evaluation is that it's iterative. So ideally, your exhibits will be tested with visitors repeatedly over and over until you feel your goals for visitor engagement are reached, or until you feel really that you have enough information that you need about visitors' experiences with those exhibits to help you then refine them to better improve visitors' engagement with them. So it's something that you do sometimes more than once. Of course, how much will depend on your time and your resources, but it's meant to be iterative. You can do more than one formative evaluation for the same exhibition and even on the same exhibit. And the third principle that I think underlies any formative evaluation in any setting is that it's varied and it's flexible. So in practice, and as you'll see in some examples that I'll share later on, formative evaluation studies can look very different depending on the museum's goals for an exhibition and depending on their available resources. There are a variety of different things, different exhibit types that you can test with visitors through formative evaluation, as well as a variety of methods that you can use to test out these exhibits. So your choices might look different than another museum's choices, and that would be based on your museum's goals for the formative evaluation, what you're interested in learning through the formative evaluation. It might be different based on your overall exhibition development timeline from start to finish, different based on your visitors, different based on the setting of your museum, the topic of your exhibition, and of course your budget. But yeah, the point is that any formative evaluation, it won't look exactly the same as a formative evaluation from one museum to the other, and that's okay. That's part of the process. So how do you do formative evaluation? You know, you're a museum professional who wants to do formative evaluation with visitors for a new exhibition that you're developing with your colleagues. Practically speaking, where do you start? The first thing you need to do is to work with your colleagues to determine why it is you want to do formative evaluation with visitors. What exactly are you hoping to learn from visitors? We call this process defining your research objectives. And I think it helps to think about it this way. Think about it as, what information do you feel that you need from visitors in order to feel confident that you're creating exhibits that they find relevant and that they find meaningful? For example, are you interested in better understanding how the exhibition's visual elements affect visitors' mood, catch their attention, or how much or how little the visuals that you're designing spark visitors' intrigue or maybe even cause confusion? Are you interested in understanding how questions of usability, how easy or how hard it is for visitors to use a particular interactive exhibit that you're developing? Are you interested in questions of language? Are you interested, for example, in how the choice of words and the tone of voice in the labels that you're drafting affect visitors' understandings? For instance, are there particular words or particular phrases that visitors find difficult to understand, or that maybe convey a different feeling to visitors than what you intended? To what extent does the text that you're writing for the exhibition actually help visitors understand the exhibition's key messages? Is it too complicated for them, too confusing? And if it is, how so? What's feeling confusing about it? So uncovering these kinds of questions is a great use of formative evaluation. You might be interested in understanding questions related to the overall organization of ideas, either within an exhibit or in the exhibition as a whole. For example, understanding if the information that you present to visitors is organized in a cohesive way that supports them in easily making sense of the ideas or issues raised by the exhibition. Or maybe are the organization of ideas in the exhibition, there's gaps for visitors, there's inconsistencies for them that are just there that they are finding confusing. So those are kinds of things you can also discover through formative evaluation. You might be interested in really using your time with formative evaluation to understand visitors, the way that the exhibits are emotionally resonating with visitors. So how do visitors feel after encountering your exhibits? You know, did they enjoy them? Are they left with any negative emotions? And why? What about the exhibits is causing that? You might be interested in understanding whether the exhibits that you're working on appeal to visitors on a personal level. So looking at their personal relevance, what, if anything, resonates with them personally as individuals, and why does it resonate? And we usually, it's worth noting that, you know, you see all these different possibilities on the screen, but we usually try to investigate several of these questions at once to make the most of any formative evaluation study, even one that is done quickly over just a few days. The next step is that you need to determine what it is you will show visitors during your formative evaluation. And we call what you'll show visitors your testing materials, or more simply, your prototypes. Remember that I said the overarching goal of formative evaluation is to refine and improve exhibits before the exhibition opens to the public. So of course, we need to show something to visitors. We need to give them something to react to. And prototypes can take many different forms. This really depends on a variety of factors, including how far along you are in your exhibition development, your museum's resources, including the time, the budget you have, and the staffing you have to put things together. Some of the most common types of prototypes that we tend to show visitors in formative evaluations are draft labels. So you see some examples here on the screen. And draft labels for prototypes can be as simple as just some label text printed on a standard piece of paper and taped to a wall, over to more refined elements like labels that include some visually designed elements. Either way, label prototypes are especially useful for testing out questions you might have around language in an exhibition, as well as organization of ideas and sometimes how graphics support those ideas. Another kind of prototype that we use, so testing labels doesn't really work that well on its own. We often need to show objects that visitors would see in the exhibition as well. And that really helps them contextualize what they read. Showing object arrangements can be as simple as printing pictures of them on pieces of paper and mocking up the way that they would be arranged in the exhibition for visitors to see. And you'll see a few different examples of that here on the screen. If you're producing any kind of videos, projections, or digital kiosks, you know, that visitors can flip through for the exhibition, crafting a quick slideshow of some of the images and some of the texts that might go into those videos or into those projections and showing that quick slideshow to visitors can help you just test out what appeals to visitors about the content of the future video and help you work out questions of the best way for ideas and information to flow. So this could be something that you test out as well. And another thing we test out often in formative evaluation are mock-ups or simulations of interactive experiences. This is anything that simulates the experience that visitors would go through when they're using an interactive exhibit. For instance, you might create a paper prototype or work with designers at your museum to build something a little more working, more digital. It really depends on what your resources allow. You know, usually it can keep it quite simple. If one of your goals is to test how easy or hard it is for visitors to use an interactive, as well as what ideas, what emotions they take away from that experience, you would need to create some sort of interactive mock-up. So again, you can see most of these on the screen here are pretty simple, just some paper on a table. It's worth noting that in any formative evaluation, you will have to prioritize. You can't test every single piece of the exhibition. Exhibitions are quite large. They have a lot of different components. So you will have to prioritize. There are always time constraints and resource constraints. You'll have to prioritize testing the exhibits or the parts of the exhibition that you feel would benefit most from some visitor input early on, and prioritize ones that you are actually willing to change based on what you learn. Typically, you know, we say, if you're not willing to make a change to this exhibit, don't show it to people for feedback, because if you're not willing to incorporate what you learn, there's no point in testing it. So make sure to pick things that not only have room to change within your timeline, but that you feel you are willing to revise based on what you learn from visitors. And another thing that's worth noting is that even though you have to prioritize and you may not be able to test out every single piece of an exhibition, usually what you learn from testing one prototype exhibit or just one or two, a handful, that usually has ripple effects, and you can use the feedback that you get and the insights you get from testing a couple of things to make changes to more aspects of the exhibition if you'd like to. So usually you get a lot for your time just testing even a couple of things. Finally, you must determine the methods that you'll actually use to test out your concepts and materials. So you've figured out what you want to test, and now you need to figure out how to test it. And the methods that we use in formative evaluation are usually qualitative. They can be done quickly with a small sample of visitors, typically just between 10 and 20 visitors. And qualitative methods are really great because they really offer a lot of flexibility and open-endedness. That's very important when the goals of the evaluation are exploratory, like they are in formative evaluation. Qualitative methods also allow visitors to express their thoughts and express their ideas in their own words. And this open-endedness really provides space for their thoughts and conversation to develop a little bit organically. So I want to just cover a couple of the most common methods that we use to gather data or to gather feedback from visitors in formative evaluations. The first is short answer interviews. And interviews are, this is me on the left doing an interview with visitors at a museum. Interviews are great because they lend depth to a formative study, and they're essential for answering questions related to meaning making. In formative evaluation, interview questions tend to focus on the specific concepts that you're testing. So for instance, you might ask visitors questions to understand their preferences for certain graphics. You might ask questions to help understand how they understand the big idea of an exhibition, how they're making sense of it, or how easy or hard it is to use a prototype. Importantly, in formative evaluation, the interviews are usually quite short, maybe 15, 20 minutes at most, and sometimes much shorter. But the goal of these short answer interviews is really to just give visitors a chance to quickly tell you about their experiences using a prototype, tell you about that in their own words, but it's not meant to be an opportunity for deep reflection. Another method that we sometimes use in formative evaluations are think aloud protocols. And in this method, a visitor is asked to do something while speaking their thoughts out loud. So the researcher might ask them questions to clarify what they said, them to say a little more, but it's not the same as a formal interview. Think aloud protocols are really great when you're testing questions of process, testing questions of usability, and trying to understand how visitors make decisions as they use prototype exhibits. So for example, you might ask a visitor to use an interactive exhibit prototype, try to navigate to a particular screen, and ask them to talk out loud as they do so to help you listen and understand their decision-making, to understand and observe what, if anything, is proving difficult for them. Or maybe you ask them to watch a slideshow that you put together that just represents some scenes of a video that you're developing for an exhibition. And you ask them to talk about their reactions to this out loud in real time. Doing this allows you to hear visitors' gut reactions to the content and to the choices that they're presented with, to watch their gestures, to watch their actions, their facial expressions. And it also allows you to ask them some follow-up questions in the moment and help you understand the choices they're making and understand what's going through their minds as they interact with this exhibit. And sometimes in formative evaluation, we also use observations as a method for understanding visitors' experiences. In a formative evaluation, this usually means asking visitors to use a prototype and then us watching and taking notes on the actions that we see visitors doing. And these notes can be very open-ended. They're just meant to help you understand what you see people do and what you see them not do, to understand questions of how easy or hard it is for visitors to use exhibit prototypes. So I want to spend the rest of my time today helping as best I can in this short time, show you what evaluation and formative evaluation really looks like for exhibitions, what it can look like in practice, you know, not just telling you about it, but trying to show. I'll share four case studies where we use formative evaluation with visitors to help museums shape and help them refine their exhibition text, messaging, as well as other exhibition elements like interactives. The setting and the subject matter for each of these exhibitions that I'll share are very different from one another. So hopefully it'll help you see how formative evaluation is a helpful tool for exhibition development in many situations. Okay, first up, we worked with the Baltimore Museum of Art, which is a mid-sized art museum located in Baltimore, Maryland, here in the US. We worked with them to do formative evaluation for a new exhibition that they were developing on the theme of home, H-O-M-E. The premise of this exhibition was to use art objects from the museum's collection to invite visitors to think about the idea, what does home mean? To think about this idea in new ways. And through formative evaluation, the museum was really interested in understanding how much or how little visitors were making connections to this idea of home. They were interested in understanding what resonated with visitors about this idea, what didn't resonate so much, and why that is. And at this point, when we were ready to do the formative evaluation, the museum had made many decisions about the exhibition. They had already selected many objects for the exhibition. They had begun to write labels for the exhibition, and they'd also begun developing several interactive exhibit experiences. So what they wanted to do through the formative evaluation was really help refine these experiences so that each of them best met visitors' needs. So we set up a low-cost mini exhibition in a classroom at the museum. You see some photos of it here. It had preliminary labels, photographs of many of the objects printed on paper and stuck to the walls, and it had some mock versions of the interactive experiences that the museum was considering developing further. For example, to simulate an experience where visitors could pick up headphones and hear more like audio about an object, one of the curators recorded themselves reading a 30-second script out loud, and we put that recording on an iPod on a table next to a printed photograph of an object. So you can see it was not fancy. It's just paper, tape, and the label text that the curators had already started writing. So we just put all of that on the walls and on the tables. We then invited visitors to come visit this mini exhibition. And we recruited visitors who were already at the museum that day. We asked them to come do a short interview with us. And we simply just walked up to them and said, hello, we are testing materials for a new exhibition and we'd really love your feedback. And visitors were happy and excited to participate. And we ended up doing 20 interviews with visitors over one weekend. So not a very long time period, just one weekend. In the interviews, we asked visitors to tell us to look at all of this stuff and to take as much time as they wanted to explore it. And we asked them to tell us what about the exhibition and these different pieces they found most and least interesting and why that is. We asked them to talk about what they found confusing or maybe a little bit hard to understand and to tell us about why and to talk us through their confusion. And we also asked them to talk about what resonated personally with them, understanding that maybe nothing would resonate personally with them. But the point was for us to listen and to hear how much or how little they were connecting with these ideas. For the interactive experience, we asked them questions about how easy or how hard it was to use, as well as the degree to which they felt it enhanced their experiences with the objects. And this was a lot of different testing, but packed into one single weekend. We learned many things that helped the museum continue to develop the exhibition script and these individual experiences. For instance, one thing we learned was that visitors talked a lot about how they wished, they liked what they saw, but they wished they could see more people in the objects in the exhibition. And that was because to them, the theme of the exhibition, home, really centers on relationships with people and not just place. And the museum, I mean, these are printed photographs of things that are paintings and sculptures and all sorts of different art objects. The museum can't change what the objects are. Like, the painting is what it is. But what they could do with this feedback was revise the label text and revise some of the audio and the video that was going into some of these interactive experiences to better bring in the idea that home equals people. So there were lots of great decisions made out of this testing. For this next example, we worked with designers at a visitor center at the Lake Mead National Recreation Area in Nevada, which is in the western part of the United States in the desert. The visitor center at this national park is a building where you can stop at the beginning of your visit to learn about the park's history and to find out what you can do during your visit at the park. So it's not a museum with a collection, but it's very similar in that the exhibits there convey a place's history and convey many options to visitors. And this visitor center was working on many new exhibits, and they really wanted to test just three of them in particular through formative evaluation. First, they wanted to test this one you see on the left. It's a large graphic label that was supposed to help visitors understand the different recreational options that they had at the park. They also wanted to test a script for an interactive that would be about the value of water at the park, which was very important because it's a desert and this is an important story to tell in this setting. And then third, they wanted to test a mock-up and labels for an exhibit that eventually, you see it on paper here, this map, an exhibit that would eventually become a very large, touchable, tactile map of the park. And this exhibit was intended to help visitors understand just how big and how vast this national park really is. So as you can see on the screen, we set up rough versions of all of these exhibits at the visitor center. Again, we're kind of just in a room off to the side of the main exhibit gallery. These exhibits in this case were printed in color. They were large. You can see in this bottom photo, like it's pretty tall compared to a person. We printed them out big, but it's just printed on regular paper. Again, nothing fancy, nothing super expensive. And we spent one weekend at the center. When people stopped by the center, as they normally would when they entered the park, we would ask if they were willing to take a few minutes to come see these working versions of the new exhibits. And most of the time we talked with couples or families, since that's who visits the parks together. And that was really great because we could see how groups of people interacted with the exhibits and not just individuals. We usually invited visitors in this case to try out just one of these three exhibits. And that was an intentional choice so that we could keep the interview short, just under 10 minutes. And then we could let them out of their day. In the interviews, we introduced the exhibit they were looking at, and we let them spend some time with it, let them read it, or sort of, in the case of the map, really look at it. And then we ask them questions like, what about these panels do you find confusing or hard to understand? Can you tell me more about that? What questions come to mind for you as you look at this panel? What are you wondering about? Can you tell me more about what you're wondering about, what you want to know? And overall, how useful do you feel these panels would be for you in helping to plan your visit to the park? And what about them makes you say that? So asking visitors to really point to examples, things they were seeing or things they weren't seeing in these exhibits that they wished they could see. And because sometimes visitors will be very nice when you show them a new thing, sometimes we like to use scenarios to help us understand a little bit better how visitors might really process something if they were on their own and not with us. So in this case, we even asked them to pretend that they were going to pursue one of these recreational activities that is on this panel on the left. So we asked them to choose one and then talk us through how would they figure out what to do next. So for example, if they wanted to follow the option on this panel of mountain biking at the park, how would they figure out where to go, what they need to do next? And the point of asking them to talk through that scenario based on what they saw on this label that the museum's developing, the point was that we could listen and we could help them understand if there was any information that visitors were looking for or that they needed that wasn't currently planned to be in any of the new exhibits. So a lot of what you learn sometimes through formative evaluation interviews is from listening to what visitors don't say just as much as listening to what they do say. And we learned many things from this formative evaluation that helped the center adjust and refine each of these exhibits. And also, they used feedback from these three exhibits to make changes to many other exhibits that we didn't even test with visitors. So it was a very productive set of sessions. The next example is a formative evaluation of an exhibition at the Museum of the City of New York in New York City. And this exhibition was called New York at its Core. The purpose of the exhibition is really to take visitors on a journey through 400 years of New York City's history. And it also was planned to have a gallery about the New York City's future, as well as the challenges that New York faces as a changing city. And for this exhibition, we did two rounds of formative evaluation. So I had mentioned earlier, it's iterative. You might do more than one round of formative. This was a case where we did more than one round. We did one round of formative evaluation that focused on testing out the text and objects for the gallery about the city's past. And then another round of formative evaluation that focused on testing the text and interactive experiences that were being planned for the gallery that was about the city's future. And that was really important since that gallery was rather experimental for the museum, which was traditionally more focused on history. In this formative evaluation, labels and exhibition text were a central focus because visitors wouldn't be expecting a gallery on the city's future in a history museum. So it was important that what you see here on the left side of the screen, this is the introduction label for the gallery on the future. It was important that this introduction label did a really good job for visitors of framing what is this gallery, why is there a gallery on the future of New York City in a history museum in a way that not only made sense to visitors, but it had to pique their curiosity. It had to intrigue them to want to go in and explore more through its exhibits. Visitors had to feel invited in, not put off and not like, I don't know, I don't want to see a gallery about the future. They had to be clear on why the gallery was there and they had to feel excited about it, not bored. So this one label had to achieve a lot. Additionally, the museum had decided to divide this gallery on the future into different sections that each dealt with they were calling it a big challenge that the city faced. Things like affordable housing, challenges of population density, challenges posed by poverty. And they planned to introduce each of these big challenges on these big, tall labels that you see pictured here at the top of the screen. So they were especially interested to test out a couple of things related to these labels through formative evaluation. They wanted to test first if visitors found them confusing due to too much urban planning jargon. Like, was the vocabulary for city planners, but not really for the everyday person? And they also wanted to test if visitors were intrigued by or turned off by all of the data that is presented on each of these challenge labels. So it's probably a little bit smaller on the screen, but You can see on the bottom half of each of them, there's a lot of charts, a lot of graphs, a lot of data visualizations, which not everyone is used to looking at. So it made sense to the museum why they were there, but they wanted to test out sort of where visitors fell on the spectrum of, I love this, I want to dive deep into this, or I'm confused by all of this data, it's too much for me. Where are visitors on that spectrum? And so similar to all of the other cases I've shared with you so far, we tested all of these elements over the course of a few days at the museum. And in this case, we made a big effort to purposely invite a range of people to participate in our interviews. We made sure that our interviews included teachers. We made sure that we talked to families who were visiting the museums with younger children. We talked to students, younger and university students. We talked to millennials, we talked to older visitors, we talked to international tourists in New York, and we talked to New York City residents, also that we would have a diversity of perspectives on these working versions of the exhibits. And regardless of their perspectives, the content resonated with people on a lot of levels. So, for example, some people who are local to New York City really related to the struggles of affordable housing presented in these labels. Some international tourists talked about how they live in cities that face similar challenges, and others were tourists who live in smaller towns, but they had a really deep curiosity about New York City, so the content resonated just because it satisfied their curiosity about this big place that's not like where they live. Despite this, though, our interviews and our testing revealed that the gallery had some barriers that the museum needed to overcome to really help meet visitors where they are. So, for example, some visitors talked about how they were intrigued by the idea of a gallery on the future of New York City, but they felt like it overemphasized challenges and not so much solutions. They were left feeling very pessimistic about the future of New York City. Others talked about how they felt overwhelmed by all of these data visualizations. It was too much for them to process to the point where they just didn't go read anything on the label. They saw all these charts and graphs and didn't want to engage. And some of the teachers also told us about how they felt the content might be uncomfortable or it would be uncomfortable and awkward for their students because some of them come from a less privileged background. They represent the New York City populations that struggle most with these big challenges like poverty. And for their students, the challenges would not be abstract. They're not abstract academic exercises. They're real everyday life. Based on this feedback, the museum made many changes to all of the labels to incorporate these insights, including simplifying the vocabulary, changing the type of data visualizations, or sometimes just cutting them, reducing the amount of data visualizations on the labels. And they took steps to incorporate visitors' real lived experiences into the questions posed on the labels, as well as into some of the interactive experiences. And then just to acknowledge what you see on the bottom of the screen, I had said we did two rounds of formative evaluation here. We also eventually prototyped some interactive elements of the gallery, including a game where visitors can design a building for a city using, and we did this testing using nothing more than a PowerPoint slideshow on an iPad. Visitors could swipe through and they could see screenshots maybe of how the game might look. They could talk to us about what they found intriguing, what they liked, and maybe what they found confusing, even without actually being able to play the game yet. And the museum was able to use this testing to help them refine the script for the game, to adjust the game's vocabulary, and to help answer questions visitors had all before the game was produced and finalized. This last example is probably my favorite because I think it's an example of how formative evaluation can have a powerful impact on an exhibition's tone of voice. So we used formative evaluation to help the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian refine the messaging in an exhibition called Americans. And this is a very purposely provocative exhibition. It prompts visitors to explore difficult truths about how American Indians, in other words, Indigenous Americans, how these peoples are intertwined with the United States' national identity. So to do this, the exhibition presents hundreds of objects that depict representations of American Indians in pop culture and in daily life. For instance, how in the United States, we sometimes see American Indians as mascots for sports teams. We see them in branding, For example, there's a well-known butter company here that has an indigenous mascot and has for many years. In the poster for an apple company or American Indians, the name of American Indians as the name and logo for a motorcycle brand. And the museum plans to have these very provocative labels that had provocative questions on the walls throughout the exhibition. And through formative evaluation, they really wanted to test how receptive their visitors would be to an exhibition that presented hundreds of representations of Indians and said, relax, we aren't planning to guilt trip you. The museum knew that some people would enter an exhibition like this and hope that the museum would tell them how to feel, that the museum would give them directions or a playbook of sorts on how they're supposed to feel when they see Indigenous people, American Indigenous peoples in branding or in logos. You know, how am I supposed to feel when I see this as a sports mascot? How am I supposed to feel when I see it in the branding for a company? But the museum felt there's nothing straightforward or easy about this topic. And they didn't want to let their visitors off the hook that easily. They wanted their visitors to engage with this material, to come to the exhibition and feel comfortable thinking for themselves and coming to their own conclusions about how they feel about all of these tensions. So with this in mind, I know that's a lot, but with this in mind, we led three different phases of formative evaluation with the museum to help them gradually refine and develop the exhibition's messaging and the exhibition's tone of voice. And in each phase, we led exploratory interviews with the museum's visitors to help the museum understand visitors' reactions to the overall exhibition concept, to help them understand their reactions to multiple iterations of the introduction text, to help them understand how visitors felt about exhibit prototypes, including some of the selected objects, interpretation. We showed a memory timeline. We showed an early version of a film. Lots of different things. And in each phase, we recruited a random selection of visitors at the museum. In total for this, I mentioned we did three phases. We ended up doing over 100 interviews with lots of visitors. We often interviewed them in pairs or in groups because that's how they typically visit the museum, but also because that allowed us to listen to people talk with each other about their reactions to the exhibits, which sometimes weren't the same as each other. And just listening to people discuss in their own visitor group how they were processing this information was very productive and led to a lot of new insights. We asked people to talk, to look at these materials and to talk through what resonated with them, what they were curious about, and if anything made them feel uncomfortable, as well as what they perceived the overall intention or overall message of the exhibition to be. And this work was really critical to helping the museum understand how visitors were responding to the exhibition's core ideas about the complexity of the relationship between American Indians and American history and culture. For instance, you see on the left some early versions of the introduction text. This we tested multiple times in every round of formative evaluation because the early testing demonstrated that visitors felt really confused and sometimes really put off by the very open-ended language and questions that were in the label. Visitors, as I said, they really wanted to know where the museum stood. What was the museum's opinion on these issues? And we learned that visitors had really strong emotional reactions to the content. Some visitors at first felt so uncomfortable with the topic that they were kind of dismissive and they didn't really engage as deeply as the museum wanted them to. But then as we tested over the different rounds, we started to see that people became intrigued and curious about the feelings of discomfort that they were experiencing. So this was a lot, but the museum used these insights over this testing and these multiple rounds to slowly but surely revise the exhibition's text, and in particular, the introduction label, to help find a little more balance. They edited it so that it poses very clear questions, is upfront about the museum's stance, so it tells visitors what the museum thinks of these issues, but it also mixes very direct and confrontational language with elements of whimsy, elements of surprise, and some humor, actually. That was one other thing we were testing out, was how funny can these labels be while dealing with a serious subject. And the results of all of this testing is an exhibition that expresses many, many difficult truths about the U.S. without distancing visitors to the point of them not wanting to engage. So it sort of strikes that line of I'm uncomfortable, but in a good way, and I want to explore more. And all of this wouldn't have been possible without testing through formative evaluation. So as you can probably tell, I'm enthusiastic about the many approaches to and possibilities for using formative evaluation in exhibition development. And that's because I really feel that formative evaluation helps create powerful exhibitions by bringing visitors' thoughts, visitors' opinions, and their actual experiences to the forefront of the exhibition development process. It helps museums create truly audience-centered exhibitions. So I want to leave you with a few tips and things for you to keep in mind as you move forward with your work and start on your formative evaluation journeys. One is that you can make the time. So a common concern that I hear among museum professionals is that there just isn't enough time to do formative evaluation with visitors when they already have so much to do for developing an exhibition. But remember, formative evaluation, it doesn't have to be fancy and it doesn't have to take a long time. Most of the examples I showed you, maybe with the exception of the last one, most of the examples I showed you took just a few days. And we didn't speak to very many visitors. We learned a lot, though, even with speaking to just 10 visitors in some cases. We used basic, cheap materials, just print something on a piece of paper and stick it on the wall to help us test out labels, help us test interpretive text and other types of exhibits, even the ideas of interactive experiences. And I think that how you spend your time is a reflection of your values. So if you value creating audience-centered or visitor-centered exhibitions, you'll be able to make the time for formative evaluation. My second tip is that you need to be open to learning and change. So any good researcher will tell you, don't test anything with visitors if you aren't willing to change it based on what you learn. Doing formative evaluation with visitors requires some vulnerability. It's not about giving up complete control, but rather it's about understanding that visitors are not experts. Visitors are not specialists. They have lived experience that matters, and their lived experience and their perspectives will, whether you like it or not, it will influence the meaning that they make from an exhibition. So as museum professionals, you can use formative evaluation testing as a tool to help you meet visitors where they are, so that you can ultimately achieve your goals in helping take them to new places in their thinking about a topic or an issue that you care about that's being expressed through the exhibition. And my third tip is just to have fun with it. Formative evaluation, you know, there's a lot to consider, but ultimately it should be a fun experience for both you and for visitors. So don't stress too much about the details. The most important thing is getting out there, showing visitors something, being an active listener, and being ready to learn from what visitors tell you. Ultimately, it will make any museum's exhibition stronger. And I just want to take a quick moment to give credit to the many thinkers in the museum and evaluation fields who influence my work and thinking, and point you to some resources that you can check out to help you keep learning about formative evaluation for exhibition development. So I've linked to Cara Collective's website as well as a few pieces by my colleagues and the Smithsonian's guides as well. And in particular, I recommend their guide for interpretive writing for exhibitions and their guide to prototyping. And at this point, I'm happy to take any questions from the audience.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Kathy. It's been great. I think you've explained very well what the formative evaluation with many examples. So congratulations on that. Are there any questions from the audience? I would like you to give more details if the formative evaluation is a tool that all museums can use, small museums, middle-sized museum, and how they can use it. Can you get us more details about this? Because I guess it is something that concerns many of the attendees here today.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a big question. So I think when I say that any museum can use it, I mean that really, it's dependent on if you have a desire to learn from your visitors, you can take a day, say one day. So let's condense the time frame, right? Because I did share some examples of, you know, larger national museums in the United States, which have generally many more resources. And sometimes it's a small community museum, one museum with a low budget, maybe a small local historical society or university museum. But you still can take some time out of your day to learn from your visitors. So I can imagine a small condensed version of this where you, you have a meeting, one meeting with your colleagues and say, hey, we want to test out some labels that we have. We're working on a new exhibition and we've begun writing labels, but we want to make sure that the way that we're writing about these ideas resonates with visitors. So let's say you have a draft of your introduction label and you have a small staff. I'm imagining maybe you have a team of two or three people working on this exhibition. So you're all doing a lot, but maybe you take one afternoon to print out the labels that you're working on and to go to the museum floor, go to the museum, to the galleries, walk up to a visitor and say, hi, we're testing out some materials for a new exhibition. Can we have your feedback on them? And then show them the new labels you're working on, give them a little bit of context for the exhibition, and ask them what they find interesting, what they find confusing, what their reactions are, what questions they have. Even if you did that with 10 visitors in one afternoon, you would learn a lot of feedback from how people are processing that information, even if you just tested one label. And so I guess this is what I mean when I say that sometimes, you know, we have museums with many, many resources, right? They can test a lot of exhibits, they can develop a prototype, but formative evaluation in that example I just shared, that's still formative evaluation. It doesn't have to be this very fancy produced thing. And if there's a particular detail about like a particular method, I'm happy to share more, but, yeah, I guess I'm curious what details you're specifically you're wondering about. We do this work usually with formative evaluation. We're not testing for more than a couple of days at a time. So even in the cases like the last example I shared where it is, I said we did three rounds of formative evaluation, each round was 2 days each. So a Saturday and a Sunday. And we did as many interviews as we could in that time. We set up some printed prototypes of exhibits. And it did take time from the museum staff. I mean, they had to sit down and stop and think about what they wanted to show visitors. That required them to think about what were they open to changing. And some exhibits they chose not to test because they felt they were too far along in production, that changing them at this point would cause more problems than it was worth. But many exhibits, they hoped testing them would have ripple effects and help them understand visitors' perception of the exhibition. You don't always need somebody like me to, you know, I work for a company that consults with many museums, but much of a formative evaluation happens internally at museums. So I really believe that, you know, even if you are the curator, even if you are the specialist, that it's a very valuable experience for you to just take something you're working on, take parts of the exhibition script, take some pictures of some of the objects that are going to be in the exhibition and put them in front of visitors and have a conversation about their reactions. It can be as simple as that. And that still is formative evaluation. And when I say this, this process is the tool. Every formative evaluation, you might ask slightly different questions. Some of the questions we often ask visitors are, what do you find most interesting about this? Can you tell me about anything you found confusing or hard to understand? Please be honest with me. You won't hurt my feelings. I really want to know. It will help make the exhibition better. What other details can I share? I said these interviews don't have to take a long time. Sometimes just 5 to 10 minutes. And yeah, there's many possibilities. I said formative evaluation is varied, it's flexible. So you really hopefully can adapt the process to make sense in your context, whether you're a small museum with not a lot of time and resources or a large museum that can devote a little more. It's adaptable.
Moltes gràcies. Jo crec que ens has aclarat molt bé.
Thank you very much for clarifying. Thank you very much. And I think there is another question.
Hola, gracias. Soy Jenny.
Thank you very much, Jenny Rodriguez Peña. I wanted to ask you, based on the examples, you focused on the existing or usual audiences. in a museum. So my question is, have you done the formative evaluation for non-existing audience or new audiences you want to reach? Because there are a lot of people who don't go to the museums. We want them to go to the museums, but we don't know how to reach them. And we would also like to include them in the formative evaluation. And can you share any examples or how should we do a formative evaluation with non-existing audiences?
Yeah, it's a big question in the museum field right now, so I'm glad you asked. The short answer is yes, both are very important. So I think formative evaluation and is important. It's important to focus on both, right? It's important to make sure you understand how your existing audience, people who already are museum goers, already come, will respond to these exhibits. But you're right that it's very important to consider audiences who aren't coming, who you wish to have a relationship with. I didn't cover that in my presentation so much because in my perspective, that is more in the realm of community engagement. It's very, very important. It does require more resources from the museum as a whole. I think that developing exhibitions with communities, with audiences who you don't already have an existing relationship with requires you as a museum to be willing to not only reach out to one time, but build and sustain relationships with community members and really co-create something together versus showing them something, getting feedback, and then the relationship is over. So in examples I shared, most of the time we just talked to visitors, and then those visitors who participated in our interviews, maybe they came to see the final exhibition. I don't know. In a sense, in the situation where you want to build relationships with new visitors, that is a community engagement effort. And yes, we do. There's a lot of really interesting case studies and work that we're doing around co-creation with communities. In terms of like the details of how do you reach those people, I mean, I don't know that I can give one exact answer because I imagine in each case, like who the audience we're talking about is different. I mean, the first step is, so we do test sometimes with non-museum goers. We do test with people who historically haven't had any or haven't had a strong relationship with the museum. But in terms of how to reach those people, I think that's a question for each individual museum to confront. And it's based on who, it's based on your community and who it is specifically you're trying to reach. Every museum I've ever worked with has had a different answer as to how to initiate contact, how to reach out to communities, and how to make people feel like their ask is genuine. That's the most important thing. I realize I didn't completely answer your question because it's a complicated one, but yes, there is a lot of value to testing with people who aren't your typical visitors. But my hesitation to call, I have a hesitation in calling that formative evaluation versus community engagement, co-creation with communities, because to me, there's a big difference. Formative testing is meant to be a quick iterative tool to help you quickly refine and develop exhibits. Whereas reaching out to people you've never had a relationship with who have not historically come to the museum, that should be more of a long-term sustained effort. Many of the techniques I shared in terms of when you get to the point of wanting to show people things and the questions that you can ask them are the same. But I think there's a difference in how you would recruit and how you would build relationships. The examples I shared, the goals of the studies, frankly, wasn't to build long-term relationships with those individual people. But if your goal is to engage audiences that you've never worked with before, I think there needs to be a little bit more to it than just putting some exhibits in front of them. Like I shared in these examples, that needs to be a longer sustained community engagement effort. It's valuable, but it's a lot more time and resources to devote to the process.